Now, walleye fishing in Wisconsin and what the future holds for cool water fish species. It is the morning show. Walleye is the iconic native fish species in our state. The Wisconsin Walleye Management Team, they work in partnership with the DNR, putting together the Walleye Management Plan. And they say walleye consistently rank as our state's favorite fish to catch and eat, and catch and release rates are low compared to other fish. Join in on your walleye catch, stocking, bag limits, 800-642-1234. Holly Emke is a research fish biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's Midwest Climate Adaptation Science Center. That's an eight-state consortium that includes UW-Madison. Holly, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you recently wrapped up a five-year research project looking to boost walleye populations in McDermott Lake and in Iron County in northern Wisconsin. Tell us what you found in that project.
Absolutely. So that project, we focused on McDermott Lake, which is a small lake in Iron County in northern Wisconsin, about 80 acres. And our focus there was trying to do this kind of large scale experiment where we removed, over the course of 5 years, just under 300,000 bass and sunfishes, these warm water species, to see if we could open a window for walleye to increase their populations. The idea there being that over time, we've been seeing these trends where walleye are declining. They're a cool water species, while at the same time, these warm water species like bass and sunfishes have been increasing. And so there may be these new limits being put on walleye based on competition and predation from these warm water species. And so we wanted to see if by removing the warm water bass and sunfish, we could create a release for walleye and open a window for them to increase their population. Over the course of the 5 years, we found basically no change in the walleye population. So kind of indicating that those the competition and predation impacts of warm water bass and sunfish may be a bit too strong in these small warming lakes for walleye. But what we did see is was a really strong response in the yellow perch population, which is another kind of cool water close cousin to walleye. And so it kind of opened some opportunities when we think about managing fish populations in the future, given climate change.
That's what I wonder. With climate change, you know, walleye being one of the most important species here in Wisconsin, what do you and your colleagues think is happening to them because of climate change?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And there's not necessarily one specific thing we can point to that is associated with all of these walleye declines. And so what we're kind of figuring out is that it's likely a complex of a bunch of different things coming together. So walleye are this cool water species, and so they need a certain amount of cool water and cold water to live and survive, but they also have some other sensitivities where they prefer some low light conditions. So when water is a bit cloudier, that's what they prefer. With climate change, water in some places is also getting clearer.
Those invasives, the zebra mussels, I would imagine.
Yes, that impacts it, as well as kind of some other drivers in other portions of the state, resulting in exactly those clear water conditions. And so that comes together. And then in other places, these kind of conditions that are disadvantaging walleye are then favoring those warm water species like bass and sunfishes, creating these new interactions and increased competition, increased predation. And kind of all in all, really putting a lot of pressure on walleye. And so it's really variable. It depends kind of on the lake you're thinking about, as far as the effects that are happening. And so it's not uniform across the state. Unfortunately, we can't make super large generalizations, but we're trying to figure out exactly what those drivers are and where those are really impacting walleye.
Holly Emke with us, research fish biologist with the USGS Midwest Climate Adaptation Science Center, as we talk about how climate change is affecting walleye population and what you see as you go fishing for walleye. 800-642-1234 to join in. Holly, I wonder, how sensitive are walleye to the warming temperatures? Can even a small change in the water condition throw their reproductive cycle out of whack?
It's a great question and something, again, that we're kind of focusing and thinking about. Fish populations in general are very resilient. And so a small change over a long period of time isn't necessarily going to be super impactful. But what we're experiencing now with climate change are these kind of prolonged, extensive warming events where a general, an entire lake warms up really quickly over 10 years kind of thing. And so that completely shifts the dynamics of these systems to be in favor of warm water species. So for example, McDermott Lake, where we performed that whole lake experiment where we removed a bunch of the bass and sunfish about 15 years ago, that was a lake that had much lower abundances of bass and sunfishes and much better habitat for walleye, but has experienced a major increase in water temperature over the past 10 to 15 years, which has then completely shifted it in favor of those warm water species and also created really different dynamics throughout the lake, lots of increased plant growth and things like that. And so kind of all of these things come together to put a lot of extra pressure on walleye. And overall walleye, I think, when we're thinking about these changes in water temperature and the effect on walleye, it's going to be the interaction between the increased water temperature and all of those other things that really have that impact.
Here's another variable, stocking the lakes. You know, decades and centuries past, there's been a lot of stocking of walleye. What is the, you know, and fish then, of course, taking hold, begin reproducing. What is the impact there, you know, versus the natural reproducing that Mother Nature is happening in a lake versus, you know, stocking efforts today?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that as part of some evaluations I've worked on with some DNR, Wisconsin DNR partners, has really focused on evaluating the kind of efficacy and of stocking and how well that is working. And I know folks on the DNR side are really looking into that further. The general consensus at this point is that stocking is certainly supplementing a lot of those populations that are declining with natural reproduction. And so at this point with these declines, the first thing that we see with these declines is that natural reproduction and recruitment. So as a fish kind of a baby fish tries to make it into the adult fish population, that's kind of where that bottleneck is occurring. And so stocking is being used to supplement those baby fish populations, basically, that are not making it to the adult population.
So when you, I'm sorry, I just want to stop you there on that bottleneck, because if you look at the eggs and the spawning and the hatching, and then you've got these, young, naturally born young walleye, where is the breakdown occurring in the cycle of reproduction?
Absolutely. So that is exactly the situation that we have focused a lot of our attention on. So the bottleneck that we figured out is basically happening. So walleye are reproducing, they're able to pump out a bunch of eggs and put them in their spawning habitat. And then those eggs do hatch. We collect larval walleye, these tiny, tiny little walleye. But then when we try to catch them again in the fall, so walleye spawn in the spring, right after ice comes off the lake. Mm-hmm. When we try to then catch them in the fall to see if they've made it through that first summer and basically made it to be a large enough size to then survive the winter, that's when we're not seeing them. And so the bottleneck seems to be over that first summer, where they have to survive a lot of competition and predation from those warm water species potentially and all those other things going on, as well as the warming lake temperatures and different habitat conditions and stuff. So it's that bottleneck during that first summer of life during these really early life stages that seems to be really limiting these populations.
The complexities of the ecosystem. Research fish biologist Holly Emke explaining it to us. The U.S. Geological Survey's Midwest Climate Adaptation Science Center, our guide to walleye. Join in on what you wonder about the population or your favorite lake or river, what you've noticed as you fished walleye. 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show, back in a minute with Holly Emke here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about where the walleye have gone. A paper published this spring in the journal Fisheries Management and Ecology said climate change has been implicated in walleye declines by degrading habitat and shifting fish community composition toward warm water species dominance. Join in on what you've noticed as you troll for walleye. 800-642-1234. USGS research fish biologist Holly Emke is with us for about 9 more minutes. Holly, tribal members have their annual walleye spearing harvest around April as the ice comes off, protected by treaty rights. I'm wondering, what do the changing ecology for walleye mean for spearing and netting and feeding indigenous communities from the harvest?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question. So walleye in Wisconsin are part of a multi-use fishery, as you describe, in that they not only support a super important recreational angling fishery, but they also support this very important cultural, tribal, and subsistence fishery. And so the declines in walleye are very concerning because not tribal members hold walleye and their walleye fishing locations specifically in a very important place. And so when we think about these shifting walleye fisheries, the location, walleye are not necessarily going to disappear completely from the state of Wisconsin with climate change. It's just that the location of these fisheries may shift, where certain lakes and certain rivers where they once thrive, they may no longer be suitable, which causes concern when we think about tribal fisheries, where they are certainly very place-based. And so that's something that we're thinking about and trying to figure out, is how can we best support and protect tribal fisheries that are much more focused on a specific location, basically. But at the same time, those fisheries have also been are certainly some of the more productive fisheries over time, because they have been better at naturally reproducing over time and kind of in these more reproductive lakes. And so it's kind of this situation we're trying to figure out is what are the drivers of bright fisheries, of these fisheries that are doing better than we would once expect, and how can we best conserve those?
We also saw the daily bag limit tweaks that changed this spring in a number of northern Wisconsin lakes. The new DNR regulations are really looking at allowing anglers to harvest adult walleye, and it looks like protecting the young walleye till they mature. How much do you think this will help?
I think any shift in management towards protecting walleye is great. And so I think as we try to figure out kind of these specific drivers of what is impacting walleye, it'll be important to evaluate how these changes really play out over the landscape. And so I think certain things will impact populations in one place potentially differently than others. And so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on how these regulations impact walleye populations.
You're also researching bright spots, as you call them, where walleye flourish, learning more about where they are doing well. What conditions are you noticing that in? And how can you help? What is coming up for you there?
Yeah, as you mentioned, we're trying to figure out which fisheries are doing better than we would potentially expect. So these bright fisheries. And so far, what we've kind of figured out from our course evaluation, we're going to be diving in a lot deeper here, is walleye, as I mentioned, are this cool water species. So certainly prefer this cool water habitat, whether that's a deeper lake or a lake with some kind of cool water habitat, usually in lakes that require some deep water, or some kind of riverine habitat. So if a lake also has some kind of input of a river and flowing water, walleye seem to do quite well there as well, or a river walleye habitat or river walleye population seem to do quite well as well. As I mentioned, walleye also have this light sensitivity. So populations where water isn't necessarily getting super clear really quickly, they also seem to do well there too. And at the same time, these types of populations are also sometimes associated with lower abundances of those other warm water species. And so they have less competition and predation and stuff like that from other fish species. And so really trying to figure out exactly where those bright fisheries are is kind of the research in the hopper.
I wonder, might a flowing river be more hospitable than a cool water lake for walleye?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the type of question we're thinking about and trying to evaluate, because exactly, walleye in many places only really, outside of Wisconsin, really only occupy rivers. And so they certainly thrive in these flowing rivers.
Talking with Holly Emke, who is a research fish biologist with the USGS Midwest Climate Adaptation Science Center, as we look at walleye conservation in Wisconsin. What is changing due to a warming climate? You can join in on what you've noticed about walleye and how it's been as you fish. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Holly, the walleye management plan for the state, that is an effort by a number of stakeholders. We've seen that there is a new one, a draft in the works, circulated for public comment last month. How important is like a guiding document like this as a roadmap for the future of how we should treat the population?
I think it's very important, and I think understanding how walleye may be impacted by drivers like climate change and incorporating that into a walleye management plan, like it has been done in the current draft, is fantastic. And so I think as Wisconsin DNR continues to work with many partners and figure out kind of what works best and think about what works best for walleye in the future, that is very important.
I would imagine too, you have to really collaborate as scientists across a lot of different agencies and different groups to really figure out who's doing what as you try to nurture the walleye population in our state. That's so important.
Absolutely. And I think in Wisconsin and the upper Midwest in general, especially with a fishery like the walleye fishery, that's a multi-use fishery, it requires a special kind of collaboration, because not only are we dealing with state management, so focused on Wisconsin DNR there, and then federal kind of research on my end, but then we also certainly work with the tribal agent management agencies as well, because this is a multi-use fishery.
As we close here, I'm just wondering if you have any advice for people who enjoy eating walleye, like myself, but I don't necessarily fish for it, but I really enjoy it, in recipes. What are your suggestions there as a consumer?
Oh, yeah, I think it's really hard to beat walleye as far as table fare. I personally think it's just fantastic as a fish fry with a little bit of lemon or tartar sauce, stuff like that. But yeah, fresh out of a lake or a river and then fried up is my ideal personal favorite recipe.
Well, Holly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Holly Emke is a research fish biologist with the USGS Midwest Climate Adaptation Science Center. Ahead this hour, our conversations with Wisconsin executives continue with the CEO of Schneider. That's a transportation and logistics company that's based in Green Bay. Join in on the trucking industry, on Wisconsin's role in moving freight cross-country. Join in on supply chain issues. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News Update is next here on the Ideas Network.